Let's continue by reading the next section of 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 through 28. Now, in this section, we have Micaiah's description of the lying spirit that had come upon the false prophets of King Ahab. 1 Kings 22, verse 19. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Now therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? Then Micaiah said, Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. Then the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, Put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. Then Micaiah said, If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Take heed, all you people. What are some background notes that will help us understand the teaching of this section of 1 Kings 22? In this chapter thus far, we've seen that wicked King Ahab was trying to twist King Jehoshaphat's arm to go with him in battle against Ben-Hadad of Syria. We said that King Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings of Judah. Micaiah, the one true prophet of the Lord here, declared in no uncertain terms that Israel will lose to Syria and Ahab will be killed. For stating this truth, we see that Micaiah is thrown into prison. Our doctrinal point for this section is as follows. God permits but controls the activities of evil spirits at the present time. God permits but controls the activities of evil spirits at the present time. The prophet Micaiah indicated that he saw in a vision all the host of heaven standing before the Lord. These would be the angels, good angels and bad angels. We have a similar situation described in Job chapter 1. The prophet Micaiah then says that one of the angels or spirits came forward. We assume that this was one of the fallen angels. And he said that he would be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's false prophets, and thus persuade Ahab to go up and do battle against the Syrians by trying to capture Ramoth-Gilead. The Lord permitted this fallen angel or lying spirit to do just that. And so Micaiah is able to say in verse 23, Now therefore look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. What is the Bible teaching here anyway? It's teaching just this. God permits but controls the activities of evil spirits at the present time. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, we read that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, that is, the fallen angels. Eventually, Satan and all the fallen angels or evil spirits will be in hell. But right now, they do have a measure of freedom to do evil. God is able to take even this evil activity and use it for his purposes, as we see here. This in no way takes away from God's perfection and holiness. God permits but controls the activities of evil spirits at the present time. A lot more we could say there. But let's move on now to our practical application for this section. Practical application. Watch out for false prophets who claim to speak by the Spirit of God. Watch out for false prophets who claim to speak by the Spirit of God. The 400 false prophets of Ahab were all telling him that he would win the battle. And they were claiming that the Spirit of the Lord God of Israel had given them that revelation. Look at verse 24 once again. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, he's the chief spokesman for these false prophets. Well, we read that he went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? That is, I was speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. Since when are you now speaking for the Spirit of the Lord, Micaiah?" His false prophet Zedekiah is not claiming that Baal or some other deity gave him the message. He's actually claiming that they are speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. Watch out for false prophets who claim to speak by the Spirit of God. It can happen today. David Koresh of the Branch Davidian was a false prophet, but he claimed that his words were from the Spirit of the living God. He was wrong. And there are other false prophets today. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Watch out for false prophets who claim to speak by the Spirit of God. Let's move on now to our next section of this chapter, verses 29 through 40. In these verses, we have the record of the battle between Israel and Syria. It's been said in this battle that good King Jehoshaphat was miraculously saved and wicked King Ahab was miraculously killed. Verse 29. "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, 'Fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel.' So it was, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, 'Surely it is the king of Israel.' Therefore they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, 'Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded.' The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army, saying, 'Every man to his city, and every man to his own country.' So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken." Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house which he built, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab rested with his fathers, then Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. Once again, a couple of background notes. As Ahab was dying, he showed some courage by having himself propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians, but he never repented. It almost seems that God graciously gave him a final chance while his life was lingering there to repent of his many sins and wicked lifestyle. But as far as the record goes, he died as an unrepentant sinner. The fact that the dogs licked up Ahab's blood by the pool of Samaria was a partial fulfillment of the prophecy that Elijah had pronounced upon Ahab back there in chapter 21 and verse 19. One more background note. Ahab's ivory house, which is mentioned there in verse 39, that has been uncovered in the ruins of Samaria. The internal wall panels of this palace were inlaid with ivory. You can see the ruins of that palace today. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move to the doctrinal point for these verses, and it's this. God uses random events to accomplish his purposes. God uses random events to accomplish his purposes. We see there in verse 34 that Ahab was killed by a random arrow, but it was not by chance. A certain man, it says here, drew a bow at random, probably a new recruit in the Syrian army. Maybe he hadn't even been to the firing range yet for training. Hey guys, how do you shoot this thing anyway? Oh, I see, you put this little notch on the string and pull back and, I actually shot it. The arrow was shot at random, but it was not by chance. God uses a random event here to accomplish his purposes. Does God still use random events to accomplish his purposes? You better believe it. Ephesians 1:11. God works all things after the counsel of his will. From God's perspective, there's no such thing as a random event. You know, there may be what appears to be a random event that happens in your life this coming week. You're just in the right place at the right time, or just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You ever had that experience? These random events just happen? Well, remember, God uses random events to accomplish his purposes. Practical application. How stupid can you get? How stupid can you get? It's almost unbelievable what Jehoshaphat was willing to do for King Ahab. In verse 30, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. You know, it's obvious that Ahab fears Micaiah's words. So he says, you know, I don't want to go into battle dressed up like a king. You do it. Jehoshaphat, you put on your kingly robes. You go in. Okay, whatever you say, Ahab. I mean, can you believe it? How stupid can you get? Well, we see that the Lord miraculously preserved Jehoshaphat's life in spite of his stupidity. That's a great lesson in itself, that God bails us out of many of our stupid predicaments sometimes, of our own making. But you see, that does not justify Jehoshaphat's stupidity. I'm sure if we had been able to say to Jehoshaphat as he's coming to the throne, you know, Jehoshaphat, what you're going to do? You're going to actually do this stupid thing of going into battle with King Ahab, and he's going to say, put on your robes, I'm going to go in disguise. I mean, I'm sure Jehoshaphat would have said, you got to be kidding, I'd never do something like that. Do you see the lesson? We can get so entangled and ensnared in wrong associations that we do things we never would dream possible. Shocking things. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're involved in some wrongful relationship or association? If so, you need to get out of that situation now before you're completely blinded and lose all sense of what's right and wrong. Let us all pray that it will never be said of us, how stupid can you get?